them eternal life.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, in regard to what he has given me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Certainly, I've shared this joke with you all before, but the three sheep, right, in Psalm 23... Anybody? Surely goodness and mercy. Surely good will follow me all the days of my life. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Not starting off strong here. So having not grown up in the church, right, there was a lot that I found that I needed to learn on the fly. Like how Lutherans didn't like to laugh at a good joke in the pulpit. There we go. The pastor just doesn't know how to tell a good joke, right? Yeah. Compared to my contemporaries, at least, there was a lot that I needed to learn on the fly. And one of those things was learning just exactly how popular Psalm 23 is in pop culture and in the church. I first encountered it in a deep way at camp when it showed up in the form of a lesson during one of the years I was there. Now, it didn't take long for me to figure out that all of the other counselors, right, and most of the campers even, already had this prior relationship or connection with Psalm 23 that I just simply didn't have because I didn't grow up in that same way. Now, during the lesson on Psalm 23, we would explain to the campers the relationship between the shepherds and the sheep, how sheep, at least in the way that they have come to be bred, truly are in need of a shepherd, or they will become overgrown with wool, that they are creatures in need of guidance, and if left to their own devices, they will lead one another off of a cliff, that the oil that goes over a sheep's head is more than just a blessing, but this oil is used to protect them from flies and other critters and helps care for their skin. Now, this is the kind of relationship that we tried to help the campers imagine as, you know, we had them get down on all fours and bleat, meh, while pretending to be sheep. Now, Psalm 23 was also the focus of a whole Lenten series that I helped lead one year. For every midweek Lenten worship, we were looking at one text and one text only. Can you guess what it is? Psalm 23. Yeah, Psalm 23. And we were taking it piece by peace. And there was even a song that went with it. We're taking it verse by verse, what it means for God to be shepherd and what it means for us to not be in want, what it means for us to be led to green pastures and to these still waters, to those places where we find rest and renewal for the soul. What it means to walk through the valley of death without fear, knowing that God is present with both rod that guides us forward and with staff that reins us back in, right? And what it means to not only be at the table with enemy, but to be put at a place of honor and to have a cup that overflows and to be anointed. So much in this one psalm. Way more than I could possibly fit into this one sermon. And you can see why we spent several weeks on just this one image of who God is. And so, it's no wonder why so many have come to find comfort in this image of God, especially as they gather to remember the life of a loved one. And it's no wonder that this is the name that we give our religious leaders of the church as well, right? Pastor, Latin for shepherd. And it's no wonder with all of the different metaphors that are given to help conceptualize Jesus's relationship with humankind, the one of good shepherd seems to stick out the most. For Jesus as our good shepherd, it means all that I have mentioned, that a shepherd is out there in their pasture for the sheep and more. But what seems to be most unique about this idea of the shepherd narrative from John is the call of the shepherd and what that means. Now, my understanding with sheep is limited, but what my understanding with sheep is that this call from the shepherd or the voice of the shepherd is actually quite important because sheep do actually recognize their shepherd. And in doing a little research, it's not just from the voice, but from smell and the sound of their footsteps and other things as well. But sheep do not recognize the shepherd, or sheep do recognize the shepherd and will actually ignore strangers when the strangers call to the sheep and only come when it's the shepherd that calls them. And this is done over time, right? Over a bond that is created between shepherd and sheep. Trust that is created that the shepherd will not lead them over that cliff and will protect them from packs of hungry wolves. This isn't just some random dude, but this is their shepherd. Now, in chatting with a clergy friend earlier this week, the question came up, how do you know when you've heard Jesus talking to you? How do you know when it's Jesus's voice? Now, we both, of course, with our seminary degrees in hand, tried our hand at theologically dense answers, but neither of us really seemed satisfied with what we had going and went away from the conversation kind of, pondering a little bit more. Now, as it just so happened, we're nearing the end of May, so with our confirmation students, we had our final lesson just this last week before they get confirmed in the fall, and it was on the third article of the Apostles' Creed, the Holy Spirit, you know, this super tangible thing that's easy to talk about with middle schoolers. And the question came up, how, my beloved students, do you know when it's the Holy Spirit that is communicating with you? And the three of them came up with this profound answer together. They looked at me, Pastor, you just know. From the mouths of babes, folks, you just know. And as simplistic as it seems, it's actually a quite profound and a testament to one's faith to proclaim that when it is God that is acting or speaking to or upon you, you know it, right? It's a burning bush moment in the wilderness before Moses. It's a dove descending upon Jesus. There are moments where it is undeniably God's action in the world, right? Those times when it's more of a shout from God and when it would be otherwise hard to miss. But what of those times when God's voice comes as little more than a whisper? How do we hear it then? Do we hear it then? And I think we take a lesson from sheep. We take a lesson from sheep. Because this learning to listen for God is a deep spiritual practice, one that takes a lifetime to master. And while we do not belong to the Roman Catholic Church, right, that just elected their new pope, a new pope, by the way, which is an Augustinian, which is an order that has historically been very good at slowing down in an effort to listen to God's holy action. And we even in council do a deeply Augustinian practice in council meetings quite often called Lectio Divina, or dwelling in the Word. You should ask your council members about it. We did it for a whole year once with just one Bible text. Anyway, while we're not expected to follow the Pope's teachings, I think we can respect their prayerfulness in which the church approaches picking their new leader, right? Because it's not taken lightly. They set aside dedicated space for prayer and time alone with God. And that's what it takes to be able to hear God's voice sometimes, is to get away from all of the rest of the noise and focus only on God's voice. In this way, you learn what God's voice even sounds like in the world, or what God's action looks like in the world. Because we all know that there are so many distractions everywhere. A million things pulling us in 2 or 3 million directions, all begging for our attention. And yet, God is still present throughout all of it, trying to guide us through with rod and staff. But how can we come to recognize what that is if we have not first taken the time to strengthen our own relationship with the Holy? How can we hear God's voice if we do not take the time to learn God's voice? Sometimes we hear it regardless, right? Sometimes you do indeed just know. But sometimes when everything else just seems too dang loud and you are at the end of your line, when your cup is empty and your waters are roaring, you need also to be able to hear the calming whisper of Christ that calls you to come and rest for a while. Come and renew your soul. And when false teachers are calling for division, hate, and exclusion, through the noise, we must learn to hear the teaching of the Good Shepherd calling for healing, mending, love, and inclusion. So come and renew your souls in Christ, dearest siblings. I invite you this week, if your pastor is able to give you a task for the week, I invite you this week to take time, to set time aside and search for Christ. Search for Christ in your lives in a way you most need. A walk, a swim, reading or listening to the Bible, an extra nap, snuggling a baby. That is your assignment. Search and listen for Christ in your lives, and open yourselves up more fully to how God is already at work. Because God is already indeed with you. This has been promised through the death and resurrection of Christ, our good shepherd, who is leading us towards the hope of life. Life that is for all of God's children. A new life that is to be shared in the love of Christ, now and always. Amen.